Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing our program, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. The first Tuesday of August. Today is Tuesday the 4th, 2020. We bring people together here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now from the nation's capital on the live line, Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry has had a unique role in representing Tucson's interest, beginning with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to a sub-cabinet position by President Carter, subsequently serving under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's most successful projects, worked on lobbying behalf of Tucson in the nation's capital. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great. The so-called hurricane is by us. It's sunny outside, and we have baseball tonight.
Yeah, I was thinking you must be just delighted. You've got now, you can watch baseball, you can watch NBA. I don't know if you're a hockey fan, but hockey's back, so you've got some choices. Golf.
Well, I'm a baseball nut, as you know. The Nats are my team, and they're always in contention. It's a good organization, a lot of fun. Also, golf is on TV, and it's a major this week, the PGA. So I'll have some, but you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't watch as much as I get out there and play.
That's true. You still love to play the game, and you're very good at it. Hey, Terry, what's all this talk about the president talking about delaying an election? Can that happen?
Well, Bill, to my knowledge, the president has no authority whatever to delay an election. We've had elections during world wars and depressions, and we can certainly have one this year. The real danger is that the president will claim the results are tainted by fraud, and that if he loses, his constituency won't accept the result.
Well, there's lots of complaining on the part of the president and his supporters that they're complaining about voting by mail, claiming it opens the door to massive fraud. Does he have, or do these supporters backing that claim have any point?
Well, voting by mail is a Tucson tradition, as you know, Bill, and we know how well it works without fraud. Still, one might question the capacity of the post office to handle a huge volume of ballots nationally. And then I did some calculations. Think of this. The post office handles 472 million pieces of mail a day. If you double the number of people that voted by mail in 2016, that would be 60 million. And they vote over a period of maybe 6 weeks. So one would hope that the post office could handle this volume and not be held up by this new Postmaster General DeVoy, who was put there recently by the president and his allies.
Well, you would think they'd be able to handle it. I'll tell you what I'm hearing all the time, people complaining here in Tucson that it is taking longer than ever to get any mail. They're trying to figure out what the heck is going on, Terry Bracey.
Well, there's something called postal reform going on, and it's not really reform. It's been kind of a wreck. We're fighting to keep the Tucson postal facility, and we'll keep that fight up. But right now, our daily mail goes up to Phoenix and then back to Tucson, so that's why the delays are happening.
Yeah, and there are big changes that have been happening, right? The private delivery services.
Bill, yeah. What's going on is that the delivery services have lobbied for years to take over the Postal Service, to take over that function. They got to the Republicans, and in 2006, the GOP Congress imposed a special rule on the agency. They required that the post office pre-fund its pension and medical system 75 years into the future. Oh. I asked Shelley, I know of no other industry or agency that has ever had to endure such a cost. And the obvious purpose was to crash the system so that private industry would, you know, have an excuse to take over.
Well, Shelley's agreeing with you here in studio, so that's for sure. The Postal Service is popular, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Forbes magazine, its annual survey of popular brands, last month, found that the post office is the number one most popular brand in the United States. Number one. Bill, we're a capitalist society, but not every service is meant to be private. Certain services are unifying factors for the country, and that's really what the Postal Service is and why it's mentioned in the Constitution.
Indeed. Let's talk a little bit about the party conventions. They'll be very different this year. What role will they play, Terry Bracey?
Well, when you think about it, party conventions haven't played a major role in picking candidates since the 1950s. In the case of the Republicans, you have to go all the way back to 1952 when President Eisenhower was picked over Senator Taft of Ohio. It was 4 years later that the Democrats, did their last convention picking, and when they got Adlai Stevenson over Estes Kefauver. Since then, the conventions have largely been big partisan parties full of speeches and good feeling, and except for issues that sometimes are tough, like facing up to the seating of the Mississippi Freedom delegation in 64 and 68, they've been largely, parties.
This year, completely different, going to be a completely different vibe.
Oh, yeah. Before COVID-19 hit, the GOP was set for Charlotte and the Democrats from Milwaukee. And, you know, these are big prizes. Everybody bids for them because you have attendance around 50,000 with all the business that brings. The Republicans still want to have a big crowd for the president's acceptance speech, probably maskless and outdoors. While Democrats are talking about a very limited meeting of 300 or so to finish party business, the vice president is expected to address the nation, perhaps even without a live audience.
You've been involved in organizing conventions. How would you do it for maximum effect this year, Terry?
Well, Bill, if it were up to me, I'd hire the people who produce that remarkable virtual graduation for high schoolers this year. Did you see that? It was a remarkable demonstration of what can be done to entertain while addressing serious issues and highlighting talent. One of the great talents of effective political leaders, I think, is to have the ability to change and to adapt to the times. Let's see who can best do that this year.
Well, that leads me to talking about the debates that are coming up, and I think three of them are scheduled. There was an op-ed in the New York Times today saying maybe the presidential debate should go kind of the way of the conventions. In other words, they've seen better days. What's your take on that?
Well, I think there's always an argument for getting the two candidates on the stage face-to-face. I'm not sure three times is necessary. And I'm sure this year would be particularly unpleasant because President Trump, is calling Biden a socialist and a communist, and it could be a yelling match, or a push-up contest. Who knows? But, this is a huge deal, and the country deserves to have as much exposure to these candidates as possible. I don't think we need three. I think one would be a good idea.
Yeah, and what pretty stringent ground rules, maybe fact-checking the moderators, kind of an instant fact-checking thing. That might be helpful, too.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that, though, Bill. Do you? I
mean, in real time, it would be difficult.
It kind of turns the journalists into editorialists, and I think that's a problem for journalism if they do that. So there are all kinds of problems with it. The format has been very stilted. It's really outlived its time, and yet somehow, I think we ought to move forward with as much exposure as possible.
All right, Terry, we'll leave it right there. Take care of yourself. Be safe. The heavy weather has moved through the D.C. area, so now, as you say, the sun is out, and it looks like better times ahead. Let's hope so. Thank you, Terry.
All right. Be well.
Thank you. Terry Bracey with us. Once a month on our Buckmaster Show, our contributor from Washington on 1030, the voice trusted local news and talk in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your week going so far?
So far, it's going great, Bill. Nice thing is, we don't have a hurricane here, but yesterday we got some rain.
Oh, I'm so happy that you got some at your
house. And some hail and some wind.
We did not. It was gray all around the Buckmaster house. I was happy for the people that were getting it, like you. But as is often the case, it could rain a block away, and you might not get any.
We've had, so far, this is the second time since the monsoon started that we got some water.
Good for you. Grim economic numbers last week. What was that? The gross national product, 32%.
Well, it was about what we talked about last week, and
the
numbers came in.
You were pretty much right on. I was thinking about that. Pretty much what you said.
About where we said they were going to come in. The number itself was down around 9.2% for the quarter, but when you annualize that, it comes to about 32 or 33% negative growth year over year, and that's about as bad as it's been since the war, by which I mean World War II.
Right, right.
And the Depression. Now, as we said last time, we can't really take a look at the current statistics and relate to them in any normal way, because these are COVID-induced.
Yes.
However, what we're seeing is that recovering from this kind of downturn is going to be very difficult to do. And the other thing that we talked about last week and happened as we said it would is the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee met, and on Wednesday afternoon, they announced no change in what are near zero short-term interest rates. And the Fed once again committed to doing whatever it needed to do to make sure that cash in the economy remained flowing and that businesses would be able to have access to cash as they needed it.
That mitigated some of the damage.
It really did. So what we got Wednesday afternoon was, a fairly, I wouldn't call it an upbeat statement from the Fed, but at least a very involved statement from the Fed, which then was offset by the very downbeat, grim news about the GDP. And as a result, the market came down, if my memory serves, 100 and something points.
I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse. And what we're seeing is, of course, that was also the end of the month. When the markets opened yesterday, we got a little bit of an August bump. Today we were going to get another one, but it kind of leveled out a little bit. The Dow is up almost 100 points last time I looked. The other indices are flat to somewhat negative.
There must be a Medicare enrollment plan or time period, enrollment period coming up, judging by the bombarding of the ads we're seeing.
Yeah, to switch subjects on us a little bit here, Bill, this is something that you and I have spoken about on this show before. My concerns about older people, people in their 60s and older, who are being bombarded with ads and emails and now calls, robocalls, from companies trying to sell them away from their current Medicare and in some cases Medicare Advantage or Medigap plans to entice them into changing during the open enrollment periods. And the times when you as an individual can make changes are now just too complex to go into in a short segment. But the first thing I would say is if you as an individual have any questions about when or if you can make a change, you should Google it. Do a search and pull up any of the sites that have very specific information on who qualifies for what. But the general open enrollment period starts in September and goes through, I believe, the middle of December, the first week in December this year. And so advertisers are gearing up for that. And they're doing it more aggressively this year than I've seen in the past.
If there were three items that you would like to point out, what are they as far as caution?
Okay, so the most important thing, of course, with any insurance is going to be what your total exposure to out-of-pocket expenses may be. And so anytime you're getting away from the normal Medicare Part A and then Part B, remember Part B is the part that pays for hospitalization and your normal medical costs of wellness exams and that kind of thing. So if you are exposing yourself potentially to higher annual levels of payments by, say, retiring out of a Part B and going into a Medicare Advantage, you need to be very, very aware of that. So the first thing is your total annual costs. Your monthly costs in most Advantage plans are going to be exactly what they were with Part B. So most Advantage plans will actually take the Part B monies that would normally be withheld from your Social Security and use that to pay for your insurance. There are some extras that you can get for dental coverage and eye care coverage that might be $20 or $30 more a month. But by and large, the cost for Medicare Advantage plan here in Arizona and just maintaining normal Medicare Part A and Part B are going to be about the same. However, with Medicare, if you don't take Advantage, you're going to have a Part D, which is a drug fee. And most Medicare Advantage plans wrap that in. So you could actually, on the surface, save some money by taking an Advantage plan. But beware of the fine print. Because, for instance, some of these plans might have a larger out-of-pocket expense annually than you would normally have with normal Medicare Part B. So that's the first thing, is finances. The second thing, and this is almost as important, and to some people even more important, is the scope of the medical coverage that you get in terms of the doctors and specialists who have signed up for that particular carrier's plan. So under Medicare Part A and Part B, you can always go to any doctor who takes Medicare. Not so with Medicare Advantage. With Medicare Advantage, the medical office that you want to go to has to have signed up with that carrier. There are three big carriers, and then there are a bunch of little ones. And my sense of it is it's the little ones who are doing the advertising. So you have an obligation as an individual to check out exactly what doctors are in network for those plans, because the last thing you want is to be surprised that somebody you've had a relationship with as a medical professional,
they're gone.
And suddenly you can't use them anymore.
Yeah.
So that's very important. The other thing that I think is very important is to make sure that the drug plan, that is the prescription plan, that is included in your Medicare Advantage has the same formularies that you particularly need, because it's very important to understand that some of them are different. And so if you've kind of customized that over the period of years to meet your needs, and then all of a sudden you change plans and you find out that your particular prescriptions aren't well covered by the plan, then your costs can really change immensely. So, you know, that's something. The third biggest item, however, is to understand that anytime you respond to an email, anything that is unsolicited by you, or a voice call, a spam call, or an ad on the television, the first thing that they're going to do is get some personal information from you. And, you know, the basic thing is going to be contact information.
Yeah.
Well, how can we call you back if you know, we get cut off, or we'll send you these via email? Now that company has your email address and they know that you have some level of interest, and you will be deluged with stuff. And that is not something you necessarily want. So, you know, one of the things about Medicare and Medigap and Medicare supplements and Medicare Advantage is this stuff has become massively complex. And it is really difficult to keep all of that stuff unless, you know, you kind of like looking into those kind of details. I always recommend find somebody you trust who is in the insurance business, who sells Medicare and Medicare Advantage and Medigap insurance. You know, interview two or three of these people and pick somebody you trust. Make sure they're not tied to one company,
right,
but they can offer you a full range. Let them, you know, let them put it in front of you on a spreadsheet so you can see all of the pluses and minuses, and then make a careful decision. Whatever you do, don't do it under pressure.
That's such good advice, because, you know, you don't want to make a big mistake here, because and kind of you got to be very careful too about what could be legit and what may not be, as far as spam,
yeah,
and all
my that. Sense is that most of these companies are legit, but they also can be very small,
uh-huh,
which means that instead of having 500 or 600 or 800 docs to choose from, you might have 200 or 150. Now, they might be good docs, and they might,
sure,
be docs that you like, but the other thing to remember when you get into an Advantage plan, very often these plans are local only to the state you're in. If you travel, you're out of network, and they could be HMO plans, which means that you need a referral from your PCP, from your primary care physician, to go to a specialist.
All right, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
CBS Network News is next. It's Buckmaster on Election Day. Be right back.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Green Things, our go-to place for everything green, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more, 50 years now, and still growing at 3384 East River Road. Learn more about Green Things by visiting their website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Time for our monthly segment focusing on your medication and how to take control of your health care. Our Your Med segment features Dr. Ray Woosley, former UA College of Medicine dean and founder and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute. Dr. Woosley is currently professor of medicine and biomedical informatics at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix. Dr. Woosley's latest creation is Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources on medicine and medical advice that you can get on your particular medicines that you are taking. The Credible Meds website, visited each day by more than 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. And these new case numbers of COVID in Arizona looking better each day.
They are. And I hesitate to agree with you because we don't want to get overconfident, but I think everybody's looking for good news, and this is better news. Clearly, we were skyrocketing, and I was afraid, like many people, that nothing was going to stop it. But I think the efforts everybody out there listening to wear masks and stay apart and not go into large crowds is starting to pay off. I really believe the numbers will continue to decline if we continue to do what we know works.
And the deaths have been declining, maybe not as fast as the cases. They're more of a lagging indicator.
Right. Yeah, it's just so amazing how reproducible this is. You know, there's infection, and then there's symptoms, and then there's some of those people are hospitalized. And some of those people die, and it's about a week between each one of those sequences, and that's exactly what you see in the data. If you see increasing cases, you're going to see increasing hospitalizations, and then you're going to see shortly after that increased deaths. So as we're now seeing decreased cases being detected and diagnosed every day, we should start to see decreased deaths, and we're beginning to see that subtly in the numbers.
Are we getting some more of these rapid testing sites?
We're getting some much better sites, and the results are because we didn't have reagents, we didn't have enough people to do the assays. There were delays of sometimes 7 to 14 days, which makes the tests worthless, frankly. But now we're starting to get them back more quickly, and that means that we can start doing tracing and check the contacts of someone who's had a positive test and ask them to isolate so they won't continue to pass it on. And that's what it takes to turn this around. I mean, right now we are going to be able, and this is the mistake we made earlier. We were able to get the number of cases down to a plateau, but we didn't use contact tracing to bring it to zero, as they have in several countries. So we've got to now follow up with those tests and isolate the people who have been in contact with people who have had a positive test. And then we can start to see not just a plateau, hopefully, in our future, but actually a decline to zero, which is what we really have to have if we want to resume normal life and get schools opened,
and address the serious fear that people have of going back out into public.
How about antibodies?
Antibodies are really still a big unknown. We know from the research that's been done that people who have recovered from COVID have antibodies measurable in their plasma. The question is, how much will that, how much immunity will that give them? It's helped them get well. But we also know from the research already that the antibodies don't stick around very long in many people. And they may, within a month, fall down to half the level that they were. Now, we don't know yet what that means to about reinfection, but with many virus, influenza-like viruses, you can be reinfected after you lose your antibodies, and hopefully that's not the case for this virus.
Do you have any information at Credible Meds on your website about antibody testing?
We have a link to where you can get it. You know, the county health department and U of A has for the public, well, not for the public, but for healthcare providers, the first responders can all join a antibody research project at the University of Arizona, and I encourage everybody who could qualify to do so. We have a link to the county health department, which is the best source for people in Pima County.
How about therapeutics? Anything new there?
I wish I could say there was. there's a lot of negative research coming out, things that we thought might work, which don't. For example, Pepcid. There was a lot of evidence that if you were taking Pepcid when you got sick, you might have a better outcome. But subsequent studies showed that that's probably not the case. And as everybody knows, the very highly political and publicized one, hydroxychloroquine, has been very controversial, but five new studies now have showed that it has no effect on COVID. And so I think that's been very disappointing. It's a drug that could have been repurposed, but the evidence indicates that it just doesn't work. And things like vitamin C have been used, zinc has been used, azithromycin, an antibiotic, have been used, but there's no evidence that they work. Now, on the good side, on the good news side, if you're very sick and on a respirator, a cortisone-like medicine, dexamethasone, has reduced deaths from 42% to 30%. That's substantial, and that's important. So that's very encouraging. But we don't have a magic bullet for this yet. Remdesivir, an antiviral drug, shortens the hospital stay, but we don't yet know if it prevents death. There's a lot of evidence now that the antibodies may be effective, but it's not assured yet. So the control trials should be out pretty soon on the where you take the antibodies that a person has created and infuse them into another person. And if they're very, very ill, and sometimes it can shorten hospitalization. So that's very encouraging.
Do you know anything about ultraviolet light? Has that been used to treat patients?
you're being facetious, I guess.
No, I actually had a question that came in that we didn't have time to go on the air, but UV light?
This is a misunderstanding of the data. If you have a virus on a surface and you shine UV light on that surface, you inactivate that virus. But that's a virus that's laying on a surface. It's not a virus that's inside one of your cells that the UV light can't get access to. So if you're infected with the novel coronavirus or any virus, it's going to be inside your cells doing its damage, and the light can't get there. So it cannot be effective. And that's the same with disinfectants. If you try to gargle with peroxide or gargle with Clorox, which I would never,
no one should ever do that.
But people are doing that. They're trying that. And those things will kill the virus on a surface outside your body, but they can't get into the cells of your body to do that same thing.
All right, Dr. Woosley, we're out of time. Don't have time to get into the vaccines. Perhaps a month from now when we talk, we'll have more on that. The good news is we're into the phase three trial on several of them. So that's going to, you know, we'll keep a real close eye on that. Encouraging.
Exactly. Yep. Hopefully we'll have some good news next month.
And I did see in the New York Times, and I know I'm over my time here, but they've broke it down, and they said that there was actually vaccine has been approved for military use. One of them has. I did not hear that. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard.
Yeah.
That. I thought that it was approved for testing in the military.
Maybe that was it, Dr. Woosley. Okay. And folks can find out more at the Credible Meds website, correct?
That's right. I encourage them to go there and let us know if they have any questions that we can answer for them.
All right, Dr. Woosley, crediblemeds.org. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show continues in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio right after this.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show live line guests appear, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You can begin your travel planning to Silver City by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of recreation ideas and suggestions of some great places to stay in that lovely area of the Land of Enchantment. Let's welcome now on the live line, Kevin Dahl. Kevin works as the Arizona Senior Program Manager for the Southwest region of the National Parks Conservation Association. With nearly 1.4 million members and supporters, the National Parks Conservation Association is a voice for those of us who love our national parks. Kevin, how are you?
Well, Bill, I'm doing great. I'm kind of jonesing for my national park trips since I'm stuck working out of my bedroom like so many people. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, a lot of people are discovering or maybe rediscovering our national parks. Visitor attendance has been off the charts, Kevin, at some of our properties, some of our parks.
It in some parks it has. It varies. Some of the bigger parks, like Grand Canyon, where a lot of the visitation is driven by out-of-country guests, foreign visitors, at Grand Canyon, for instance, it's about half the normal visitation for summer. So it varies on which park. But, yeah, they do provide a place to go. I do want to encourage all your listeners to be careful. At national parks, they're set up to funnel people to the best overview look and stuff. So it's important to maintain distance, wear masks, and maybe go someplace where you can do a little more dispersed recreation like a national forest.
Is there a requirement at the parks to wear a mask, or is it just encouraged, Kevin?
Well, that's an interesting question. The national parks are under whatever regulations the local county health authorities or state authorities have set up for that area. Park staff and visitors at every park are encouraged to wear masks, but unfortunately the Park Service does not have the legal ability to require that, which I think is a shame, because masks keep each other safe, and we should all wear masks when we're going, especially inside visitor centers, museums, restaurants, places where we can't avoid the 6-foot distance and where airflow can spread this horrible, horrible disease.
Pretty much every park is open. All of our parks are open, but some of the visitor centers are not. Is that kind of what you're hearing?
That's right. Some visitor centers are slightly open. Like I think at Saguaro, they're bringing tables out, and you can order things and they'll go inside and get something from the gift shop for you. At least that's what they were doing the last time. It's at some parks they've been, like a petrified forest, they've been able to put in place the plastic shields and opened up the space a little bit more. So there's a limited number of people who can go in at one time. It's a strange new world, Bill, as we're discovering, and even National Park Visitor Centers have to make sure that staff and all the visitors are safe.
Are you excited about this passage and now being signed into law of the Great American Outdoors Act, which will fund some very critical maintenance projects, correct?
Oh, it will do that and so much more. I'm very excited. This will be the largest conservation funding effort of my career, and I've had a long career. It creates a fund. And it's not taxpayer money. It's money from oil and gas leases. $1.3 billion a year for 5 years to do some of the backlog repair and maintenance in national parks. And we have $12 billion worth of vital road repair, trails, historic buildings, water infrastructure, restrooms, everything you can imagine. And in addition to that, $3 billion for our other public lands, national forests and refuges. And that's just half the bill. It also permanently funds the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which again is money from oil and gas leases, that will provide $900 million annually, you know, this is forever, half of which goes to the states so that, you know, the states can use it for local and regional parks to purchase new land, to put up ball fields and lights so that kids can play soccer at night. The other half will go for conservation purchases. So, for instance, we have inholdings at Saguaro National Park where the boundary was expanded, and there's some private land willing sellers. Recently, we saw this fund used to connect the Sweetwater Preserve, the county park, to Saguaro National Park on the west side. So it's just fabulous that will be permanently funded. In the past, it was an annual appropriations, and Congress never fully funded it. So now it'll be fully funded and will happen like clockwork every year.
What's the report from the Oregon Pipe National Monument, where the border wall construction has been, I assume, going full bore?
It has been. It's been very controversial. As you know, Bill, I've talked before on your show that we think it's unnecessary. It's not very effective, and it's super expensive, and has been done after waiving 40-plus very vital laws like the Endangered Species Act. The Quito Baquito Spring and Pond, which is a desert oasis, a true incredible place with a diversity of plants and animals, including two endangered species and some endemic species where you see nowhere else, it's been drying up. And its connection to the border wall is the border wall is being built within 100 yards of this incredible place. It seems that the heavy equipment that was used to construct the wall cracked the bottom lining of the pond, and so the water has been leaking out, and it's very low. The spring is dangerously low in output, but that may just be a function of the monsoons. Until, I don't know if it's happened the last couple of days, but a couple of days ago, it had not come to Oregon Pipe. We're concerned that the drilling for water may eventually affect that spring, but in any case, it's a travesty. It periodically gets pretty good attention because we're making a mistake.
Kevin Dahl is with us. Kevin is the senior program manager in Arizona for the National Parks Conservation Association, which I believe last year celebrated your 100th, your centennial, correct?
We did, you know, and the year before, the Park Service celebrated theirs. And people may not know, the same gentleman who set up the Park Service as part of the federal government decided they needed an outside watchdog and advocate. And so they set up our organization, and we've been doing it for more than 100 years now.
Is membership growing?
It is. I mean, interest in the national parks continues to grow, much like visitation into national parks generally has just gone up and up and up. Our membership and our supporters, people who just sign on online to help us with action alerts and to get information, has grown quite a bit.
Kevin, I know so many of our listeners are just really looking for to get away. Any advice that you have for them here before we close if they are going to visit a national park?
Yeah, I think people should research travel so that you keep you and your family and your fellow travelers safe, and look for the places that don't get so much visitation. I would recommend checking out Chiricahua National Monument, for instance, or Tonto National Monument. The drive to both of those places is wonderful. They're both a little higher elevation, so a little cooler. The hoodoos, the geology at Chiricahua is just amazing. And the tour at Tonto of the cliff dwellings is a way to connect with the heritage of the Southwest.
Your website is NP, like Paul, ccharlieaadam.org. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Kevin, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us for the update.
Thank you, Bill.
Kevin Dahl, the Arizona Senior Program Manager for the National Parks Conservation Association. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, our Tuesday edition. Of course, today is Election Day, and that means tomorrow we'll be talking about the results of the election. Dan Scheer and Jim Nintzel are going to join me at 12:30 after our monthly interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show Wednesday edition. Until then, on behalf of John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody.